It's Celtics coverage on clnsradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
All right. A little late start. Doesn't hurt anybody. Here we are on CLNS Media. Welcome into the Celtics post-game show. My name is Matt Rury. And Celtics, after being down double digits, 14, 16, close to 18 at one point, I think, throughout this game, come back, find a way to win without their top three players tonight, including Gordon Hayward, who we all know about, including Al Horford, who was out with a concussion, and including Kyrie Irving, who went down in the first quarter after taking an elbow to the face from Aaron Baines, his teammate. So possibly another concussion for Kyrie Irving. The Celtics win this one 90-87 against Dwight Howard and the Charlotte Hornets. My co-host tonight, the one and only Sam Sheehan. Sam, man, you said it right before we got on the air here. This one was a roller coaster. And, I mean, from the horrible shooting in the throughout the game to the way the Celtics found a way to close this thing out, there's a lot to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many games I'm going to see where a team shoots under 36% and actually ends up winning the game. But I'm guessing there's going to be single-digit numbers of that in my lifetime. Man, what a game. I mean, just in terms of, like, the lows were very low. That first half was about as brutal of a half of basketball as, you know, we've seen in Boston in about 4 or 5 years. Like, you got to go back to, like, the Jordan Crawford Celtics of, 2013 to see something, you know, as bad as, you know, what has happened to this Celtics team with their three All-Stars out. I tweeted out during the game tonight, during the game, Celtics only had 30.5% of their payroll available after Kyrie Irving went out. So
that's a funny way to look at it, man. Yeah.
The Celtics really shorthanded tonight. You know, under the gun, I don't think anyone really would have blamed them for rolling over just with the sheer amount of injuries they had. And yet again, Brad Stevens and this team found a way to win, and it was just, it was great. I was really pleased.
Yeah, they did find a way to win, and there's multiple players that stepped up and figured out a way. And the theme, though, it was defense throughout the night. And that's been the theme throughout the season. When the Celtics look like they are struggling on offense, and the coaching staff after games says that they need work on offense and that they're not up to speed and they don't look good and they turn the ball over, they get back into games on the defensive end. So this game tonight just shows the resolve that this team has. They were down so big, and they shot like 20%, I think, in the first quarter. I believe that's what they were saying on the broadcast. And they figured it out. They found a way to come back. They ended up out-rebounding their opponent again. And Jaylen Brown leads the way with 13 rebounds. He's got a double-double. His shot wasn't falling tonight, but he still tried to get to the basket. Towards the end of the game, Jason Tatum looked like a scorer, or a closer, I should say, in the making. He had a couple of nice drives to the hoop and looked very confident in doing so in the pressure situations there. So the young guys leading the way tonight in the absence of those veteran players, and I think that just goes to show what a perfect mix Danny Ainge has put together. Even though it's a Friday night in the middle of November against the Charlotte Hornets, they still want to compete. They still want to win games. They have the tenacity to go out and get it, and they have veterans around them to sort of keep them in check a little bit. And even though those guys were out tonight, they all stepped up and they found a way to win that thing. And I'm quite amazed, to be honest with you. I was counting them out when Kyrie Irving went down. And 2 minutes into the game, I was thinking, well, this is not gonna go well, because I thought that this was gonna be a tough game for them anyway, because they have a target on their back now, Sam. And they have the best record in the league, so teams want to beat them. Charlotte's no slouch. I thought this was going to be a tough game when Irving goes down. I was really in the dumps at that point on this one. And then they played so poorly, and I'm ecstatic at this point.
Yeah, I mean, let's step up my man Shane Larkin. Coming over, did not think he was going to make the roster. That was before the Kyrie Irving trade. Comes out here tonight and just lays it all out there. I mean, you know, there's the 16 points. There's the 5-for-8 shooting. There's the plus 15 in the game. But, I mean, also just out there harassing Kemba Walker, like just making things really tough for Kemba Walker. And you know, you said it, like it's defense was a huge part of winning this game. I mean, Charlotte only scored 87 points. That's how you win a game when you shoot, you know, 35.7% from the field. And holy smokes, like, you know, Shane Larkin was out there and he was really ready tonight. You know, another shout out to, you know, Daniel Theis, who I think was a little bit victimized by the whistle tonight. I try not to get into that stuff too often, but I mean, you know, he had some times where he
did it enough for you.
Yeah, I thought Tommy might have. I thought we were gonna get Tommy swearing on air tonight before the end of the game in the first half. But no, the Celtics, like, they just found a way to win. I mean, Marcus Smart, like, I mean, just out there tonight, just absolutely brutal shooting night, 18.8 from the field, 3-for-16, and yet, you know, I was not like, I did not want him like off the court, you know what I'm saying? Like, cause he was just out there like making things tough, but you know, just doing Marcus Smart things, which is, you know, being an awful shooter, but then still finding a way to, you know, be out there in a meaningful and positively, you know, a positive contribution way. I was just really impressed by this team. I mean, the Celtics, like they saw way less free throws, 25 to 33, but made more. They made 21. Charlotte made more, you know, 19. So
well,
it was a great game.
Yeah, when you start looking at free throws against Dwight Howard, or a team that has Dwight Howard on it, or a team that has DeAndre Jordan, or a team that has Andre Drummond, when they go up against the Celtics, they're going to shoot more free throws than the Celtics are, most likely, because the Celtics basically hand them 8 to 10 free throws a game for those types of players. And that's something that maybe we'll get into towards the end of the show, because I don't want to put myself in a bad mood right now, but that's not a practice that I enjoy. And that's one of the things that I'm, one of the few things that I'm critical of Brad Stevens on. So I'll stick to the positive right now. But I mean, you mentioned Shane Larkin. This has got to be the type of thing that Danny Ainge envisioned for him when he got him, right? You said it was before the Kyrie Irving trade. So, I mean, I don't want to go that far down the prediction machine, but Ainge had to look at Isaiah Thomas at that time even and say, well, this guy's hurt. I mean, I'm going to need a point guard and somebody who's capable. He saw something in Larkin, and Larkin is proving him right so far.
I mean, they're you know, it's just you see all these guys. I mean, Semi Ojeleye, you know, made his way onto the floor for a little bit in this game, got the hook later on, didn't see it again. But, you know, he's someone we've seen contributions for, another guy, you know, making the minimum on this team. And, you know, but we've seen him contribute in the past. And, you know, seeing those contributions from Theis and Larkin tonight, you just see how Brad Stevens, you know, I feel like, you know, it's got to be boring for some people to just continue to sing Brad Stevens' praises over and over and over again. But it really can't be overstated. Yeah, it really cannot be overstated. Just how lucky the Celtics are to have Brad Stevens, and just what, you know, how much credit he deserves for just, you know, they have a skeleton crew right now. I mean, this, like,
yeah,
the Celtics train is like, it's down to a wagon now, and Brad Stevens still has them tugging this through the race as they're trying to get over this finish line without any of these, you know, these big superstars. I mean, I cannot believe that the Celtics won tonight after, you know, losing Kyrie, you know, like,
that's crazy. They have so much resolve. They always seem to come together. Now, I mean, this is a couple of times now that they've had to deal with one injury was major. The other one, hopefully not so major, with a concussion, a potential concussion for Kyrie, I should say. That's not been completely diagnosed yet. But, I mean, they've had to come back very early in a game and struggle and win and try and win games. And obviously they didn't win the first one, But they figured out a way to win this one, and hopefully they can do that going forward because they have another tough opponent coming in on Sunday in the Toronto Raptors, who not only are they a tough opponent, but I mean they're actually playing well, unlike most of the other other teams in the league. So Celtics have their work cut out for them. Jason Tatum healthy tonight after going down in the last game with that ankle injury, so it was good to see him have a strong game. He'll likely play on Sunday. It would be great to see Al Horford back on Sunday, but I think it's probably a little too soon to be talking about that with his concussion. So after Irving goes down tonight, Celtics might be looking at a formidable opponent again on Sunday and quite a challenge. So if this is going to be their thing this year, Sam, and they're going to start to live up to challenges and just sort of stick it in people's faces, then I expect to see a great game on Sunday too, and an exciting one because this team seems to never back down.
Yeah. I mean, hey, like we saw Yabusele, like guys who like have been victory cigars at the beginning of the year, getting in there and, you know, changing the game a little bit. And I'm really excited. I mean, I think, you know, this Raptors squad is, you know, this is a game that I think, you know, that if you're the Raptors, you know, you kind of have to, you know, win a little bit. And the Celtics, you know, they're kind of, you know, they've got another way to like play a game with a chip on their shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Like the Celtics were for a one seed that also got, you know, a top draft pick and rookie of the year candidate in Jason Tatum. You know, this Brad Stevens has no shortage of fuel for his guys. Like they are going to be, understand going in that they are not going to be favored, and that a lot of teams are, you know, they're going to be about as big of an underdog as any team on a 10 or 11 game winning streak has ever been when they play Toronto. But I really expect Brad Stevens to have those guys ready, and it could be another really great game. I mean, we'll see what kind of a tune I'm singing once I've seen the Celtics, you know, shooting, you know, under 40% again.
But yeah, no
for
kidding.
For now, I'm really looking
that's,
forward to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's probably not going to work on Sunday. Well, yeah, I mean, you never know. Speaking of Kyrie Irving, they are going to monitor him for the next 24 to 36 hours for concussion symptoms. So if anything comes up tomorrow or maybe even Sunday morning, he'll probably be out. But hopefully he's feeling okay, and it was just a little bit of a bump to the nose and not so much of a concussion. But, I mean, it looked pretty bad. He was bleeding all over the floor. He took a hard elbow from Aaron Baines, one of the biggest guys on the court. So thoughts with Kyrie Irving. Hopefully he's healthy, and hopefully he can get back soon because concussions are no joke. That's not something to mess around with. And same thing with Al Horford. We want him to take it slow as well, I mean, I'm contradicting myself saying come back soon, take it slow, but I would rather have them get healthy quick and see them on the court because then you know that they're 100%, because the Celtics are not going to mess around with these types of things. They're very, very cautious when it comes to concussions, as they should be, and as the rest of the league is. So we'll see what happens with that, but I will throw the phone number out there for you all to call in and get your thoughts out there on this post-game show. It's 347-215-7771. And if you want to come on the air with Sam and I tonight, then please press 1 so we know that you're looking to do that. And we will see what you have to say.
We got a party here.
Most people don't realize that you're supposed to be pressing 1, you know?
Well, come on.
When you
come
throw
on
it
in,
out
guys.
There, they hit the button, and here we go. So we've got a couple callers on the line. Again, 347-215-7771. And we're just going to go rogue tonight, Sam. I don't have anybody
right.
checking these lines for me. I'm just going to play roulette and see what happens. Hopefully it works out for us.
Yeah, let's go.
We'll live dangerously, exactly. In order of weight. We're going to the 207 tonight. The good thing is that I recognize these numbers.
Meaner.
So it's not like...
Yeah,
that's not
a
like,
meaner.
Right,
let's
it's not like people
involved.
that are really going to mess with us. Welcome to the Celtics post-game show. What do you have for us tonight, and who's this?
It's Blair.
Hey, Blair.
Hey.
I knew I recognized this
doing?
Number.
Yeah,
frequent caller. How do you feel tonight,
more than one Maynard. I don't know if there's one more than one Mainer that ever calls in and loves to talk about these Celtics, because we got one of the players. I'm like, oh my God, did he not go down and get hit in the face and go down with blood on the court? I'm like,
yeah, can you believe it?
Kyrie Irving, could it be any worse?
How do you like their chances if he doesn't play on Sunday?
Yeah, more chances is I hope he gets back for when we play. When we play Kyrie Irving, I mean, when we play, who was it? The toughest team's coming up, and it was. Sorry. It's coming
Raptors?
To my mind. It's what?
The Raptors? You talking about?
No, it was a tougher team than that, and they're doing
Good. Wait, are you saying further in the schedule?
Yeah, and it's coming up.
Warriors are coming up.
The Warriors.
Basically, everybody in the NBA is tough, as far as I'm concerned, except for like two or three teams.
Yeah.
It's the middle is a lot better. I
was gonna say, look at right now. What happened with LeBron? He was losing, and then all of a sudden, now they're winning. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we gotta be. Celtics have got to keep their foot on the gas. You know, I think our Celtics Nation has kind of seen the LeBron regular season, swooned enough to know that they got to keep their foot on the gas pedal and get those home games, especially if they're going to be without Gordon Hayward going forward.
I don't know why we're overlooking this one, Sam. Golden State comes into town on Thursday. That's got to be what Blair's talking about.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
so
Golden State, you got it.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. that would be ideal, obviously, if he could play for that one, but... I'm hoping he doesn't have any concussion-like symptoms at all over the next 24 to 36 hours, and then he can play on Sunday. And he's healthy. That's the hope.
Yeah,
right?
we do have the Raptors. They are usually pretty tough. We did get another win, so that was kind of nice. You know, we're 11-2 right now, and what's the Raptors' record? Come on, they're not 11-2. They're nowhere near.
Nobody is.
No one's got the best record in NBA history right now that they're talking about on other channels that I hear in sports. That they're going, these Celtics got the best record in NBA. Yeah, come on, Celtic fans, bring it on
in. Yeah, people should be
pumped. Come on, you could say it too.
I mean, it's
early. We got the best record in NBA history.
Well,
let's go.
I mean, it's early, Blair. We appreciate the call, man. We'll talk to you after the next game, which is Sunday, of course, like we've been saying. So, Blair up in Maine. Hopefully, it's not too cold for you up there. I know it's cold in Boston here tonight, but either way, Blair's excited, Sam, and I think that he has every right to be. And like he's saying, nobody else is 10-2, but Detroit of all teams is 9-3. Factor, give that. I'm going to call that the Avery Bradley factor. So that I'm going to attribute it all to Avery Bradley, and that traces back to the Boston Celtics and Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge and all that. So, just one more way to give the Celtics props. Let's pull another caller here and see how this one goes. The 339. That's one of those weird Massachusetts cell phones, if I remember correctly. What's going on tonight? Welcome to the Celtics Game Show.
Yo, hello.
Hey,
how's it going? Who's this?
Vincent, Vinny.
What's up, Vinny?
Well, I guess I'm the only guy on that who's watching that game. This calm, like, you know, if we lose this one, that's fine, right? 110 in a row. I'm just worried about Kyrie Irving, you know. But I'm wondering about this. Not to take anything away from the Celtics, but are the Hornets officially now not a real NBA team that they had to lose to a team made up of a bunch of guys who weren't in the NBA like a year ago? Larkin, Yabu, Ozele, Tatum, like, they're not a real NBA team anymore.
Charlotte's without Nick Batum still. He's one of their better players, and not to make excuses for them, but I always feel like if you make Dwight Howard a focal point of your team, you're not going anywhere. It's been like that pretty much his entire career, except for that 1 year in Orlando where they went to the NBA Finals, right? And it just
– Yeah.
I just – I don't – if Kevin Garnett doesn't go down, then they don't go to the NBA Finals.
That's just the way it is.
But I'm with you on that one, Vinny.
I was just going to say –
does not look good right now.
I think I don't want to, you know – I don't want to totally drink the green Kool-Aid out here tonight. You know, I think that Vinny raises a good point. I mean, you know, as great as Brad Stevens and you know, the Celtics, basically the Celtics second unit that was running this game did, you know, I think you do have to lay loose a little bit of the blame at a Charlotte team that, you know, could not find a way. I mean, but at the same time, you know, I think that Celtics defense, you know, like I said, you know, particularly Shane Larkin, out there hounding Kemba Walker. I was really impressed with him tonight.
I was afraid of Shane Larkin guarding Kemba Walker. Like, if I was Kemba, I'd be hunting him down every second of the way. Like, you're the guy. I'm gonna kick your butt. You're the guy. Everyone else is like combat muscles. I can't do this against anybody else. But what perplexed me was when the game started, Dwight Howard and Cody Zeller were murdering us on the board. And he didn't play him down the stretch. Like, what happened? We can't, like, you don't want to just play the two traditional big system against us? We don't have anybody to throw at you. What are you doing?
Well, I feel like Dwight Howard and the free throw situation gets in guys' heads sometimes. And that's the one thing that I guess it's good for Brad Stevens if he can get the other coach's head. But if you just keep your cool and play your game, then I think it should benefit you more often than not. But I'm confused about the Zeller thing because he was having a pretty good game and he was a no-show towards the end. How do you feel about that, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, well, I was just going to say that I think, I think I know why Steve Clifford did that. You know, he's a fellow Mainer and he's doing a favor to me and Blair as other Mainers. You know, Mainers look out for each other. He wanted to help out the Celtics as best he can. That's a good farming guy. I mean, but seriously though, that was very perplexing, particularly because, you know, that's long been something must have driven like the Charlotte NBA nerds insane, because that's pretty well documented in the NBA that Cody Zeller is one of these plus minus god guys where like when he plays, they do very well, and when he doesn't, you know, when he doesn't play, they kind of fall apart, and you know, we saw that tonight. We saw them really, really struggle out there, and we saw the Celtics sort of, you know, wrestle the rebound control back from them. That was kind of the difference in this game, especially, you know, a rock fight like we had out there tonight where there was plenty of rebounds to go around.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the only way you're going to win until Kyrie and Al come back is have a rock fight. And I mean, like the Hornets, they gave us a rock fight, and thank God for that. The Raptors might be a different story. Kyle Lowry isn't the same guy. I mean, he was averaging 22 last year. Now he's averaging 13. But DeMar DeRozan's still awesome. Serge can still make the outside shot. You got C.J. Miles. They got some nice guys.
Yeah, this one's going to be interesting on Sunday. Kyle Lowry always seems to play well. This is going to sound very specific. In the afternoon in Boston. And I feel like I've been in the building multiple times for these day games where Toronto comes in here. And he just lights them up. And without Kyrie Irving, if he doesn't play, I feel like it might be a little more tough for him to do something like that because he's going to have to deal with Rozier and Smart the entire game. But this is an interesting matchup because I really like when the Celtics go up against another team that has a fringe all-star small forward, because Tatum and Brown look at that matchup and they just try so hard to outperform that guy, and usually it works out well.
Yeah, Tatum turned it on down the stretch. He was amazing, and Brown still can't make a jump shot to save his life. He made one big three, and I love him for that, but he can't make an open three to save his life. No disrespect to Brown.
I just wanted to touch on that, you know, especially when we're talking about the young guys in the small forward situation, you know, especially with that. What did you guys think of that Marcus Morris decision there at the end of the game? I mean, he redeemed himself.
That's exactly what happened. And Tommy Heinsohn said it himself. He should have waited. I mean, 22 seconds on the shot clock, he chucked that thing up. They made one pass after the rebound, and he chucked it up. It was a very bad decision. And I hope that he can rein that in going forward, because that's the type of thing that will lose you a game down the stretch.
Yeah,
he could have gone to the hole with that. I'm sorry to talk over you. My bad, but
nah,
he could have gone
to
the hole with that and draw a foul. He could have done that or not do anything. Just stand there. Not do anything. Don't shoot the ball.
Dribble.
Exactly. Just hold on to it. Just hold on to it, buddy. All right, Vinny.
Yeah,
well, we appreciate the call, man. You got anything else you want to throw out there?
Let's see here. Want to watch out for this next game against Toronto. I think the Raptors are really concerned about Jonas Valanciunas and what they're going to do with him in the future. He's very dated. And I think the Celtics are the perfect team for him right now because we have nobody to draw him out the paint. So I am worried about Jonas Valanciunas looking like the guy the Raptors drafted him to be. And I'm really worried about the Raptors putting up 100 and us struggling to put up 75. I don't hate the Celtics when I say this stuff. I'm just a pessimist. You know what I mean?
No, they're good. They're good questions because we don't even know who's going to be in the lineup for the Celtics on Sunday. So, I mean, I like to get people's thoughts and predictions on stuff like that, but it's really just baiting you. You know, I don't expect you to give me a perfect answer. There's nothing you can say that's going to be correct.
Yeah,
it's just
a
crazy opinion, you know?
Yeah.
Vinny's a regular caller, and, you know, we would never put you on the spot like that. I think it's a good point.
No, for sure.
Jonas has killed us in the past.
A great point. It's a great point.
Yeah.
Vinny, man, we'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, see you, man.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Vinny out in Saugus. There he goes, Sam. This show has been pretty solid so far, and I think that the people over at Greats are going to be happy about that. What about you?
I think they're getting a great time tonight. It was
a great
game.
Time. That's right. It's a great game. Great hosts. Great callers. You can get great sneakers over there, too. And if you didn't realize it by now, Greats is Brooklyn's first sneaker company, and they sell all the classic styles that you're looking for. They're made the best, and they're made for less. And you're paying less as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wide selection of men's and women's shoes, versatile styles that you can wear for any occasion. There are a lot of different colors and materials to choose from, and some of their best sellers are the all-leather Royale Lace-Up and the Wooster Slip-On. So should check that out for sure. They're comfortable, and then you can pretty much get whatever kind of shoe you like over there at greats.com. That's greats.com. A couple weeks ago, I was doing this spot, and people were telling me that they could not understand what I was saying. They didn't know the word greats. I guess I don't pronounce it very well, Sam. But
I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And you just
great.
Add an S
with
on
an S.
That.
That's
yeah,
right.
Listen
great.
To the job that you know Matt's doing here. Add an S on the end of it. GREATS. And if you get confused about that brand, it's classic, stylish, and comfortable. You know, just like me. So that's another easy way to remember it. Yeah.
And I will pronounce this correctly, though. I will pronounce this correctly. The offer code that will get you 15% off on your first order is Celtics Roundtable. That's Celtics Roundtable, something we have here quite often on the post-game show. That's all one word. So go to greats.com, that's greats.com, and enter the code Celtics Roundtable to save 15% at checkout. We told you about their shoes, and they love them, and we love them, and they believe in their shoes so much that they offer a no-risk return and exchange policy to guarantee that you get the right fit in that style that you love. One more time, greats.com. And the code is Celtics Roundtable for 15%. Thank you, Greats, for sponsoring this podcast. And now we're going to keep going. And throw the phone number out there one more time, 347-215-7771. Why don't you take this one, Sam? There's no caller here, but I'm going to put you on the spot.
All right.
What is your biggest takeaway from this game tonight? Because we've already mentioned a few things that we found interesting. We've thrown a lot of players' names out there, but what stood out to you the most as far as something that you can take away and apply to the bigger picture for this team?
I mean, it's not exactly revelatory And I do think we kind of need to make this point to sort of, you know, temper the love fest that we can sometimes get caught up in. But, you know, watching the game tonight, I think it is a game that the Celtics were pretty lucky to win. And I think that, you know, it just shows how important it is for the Celtics to keep, you know, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford healthy from here on out. You know, losing Hayward, the Celtics lost a lot of that wiggle room. You know, like, this is a team that even with both those guys is not, you know, great offensively. They're an excellent defensive team, elite. I think they're still going to be number one in the NBA after tonight. And, you know, especially in defensive rating. But this is, you know, this is a Celtics team that is going to, you know, needs those elite scorers in order to, you know, even, you know, sort of maintain an average scoring level. Like, they can win games with defense, but they're going to need Al and Kyrie. They're going to need both those guys healthy at the end of the year in the playoffs. I know that's not exactly like, wow, did you kill yourself thinking of that one, Sam?
No.
But I think even the most, like, I think we saw just how ugly it is. Because I think sometimes when a team loses, like, a superstar player or something like that, one or two, you know, it can affect them a little bit. But, like, this Celtics team really, really, really relies on Al Horford and Kyrie Irving to score, because they just, even as, you know, as promising and, you know, great as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can be, you know, I don't think it's fair to expect guys that young to totally shoulder an offensive workload. And particularly Jaylen, you know, he just kind of struggles with that. He's a great defender, but, you know, the finishing not quite there yet at this point in his career.
No, it's a good point. With so many new players on this team, you can't really know what to expect from them down the stretch. But you do know what to expect from Al Horford and a seasoned player like Kyrie Irving. So they definitely are going to need to get those guys healthy if they're going to make any sort of noise in the playoffs. But we like to think that the Celtics have some depth. And people so far this year are praising their rebounding ability, the fact that they're so much bigger, with guys like Morris and Tice and Baines starting. And just even a guy like Yabusele is a little bit bigger, and people have been high on him early in the season and just the rebounding overall. But it's, if you keep getting guys knocked in the face or tweaking their ankles or getting hit in the head, pretty soon you're not going to have any depth anymore. And the depth turns into the starters, and there's going to be a breakdown at some point. So that's why you really have to, like you said, wish for these guys to get healthy and get healthy at the right time. And hopefully they can come back playing strong again, because the Celtics have really had some strange injuries bite them early in this season. And it's just, it's too bad.
Yeah. I think I apologize to whoever, I can't remember who exactly said it, but I saw someone tweet this earlier that, a good way to concussion test Kyrie would be to ask him if the world is what shape the world is, and if he says round, we're really in trouble. That's when you got to put a concussion protocol on. So Kyrie, get well soon, man. The guy is a walking galaxy brain meme, and he's also great at basketball. And I love the Celtics are better with both of those things. They're clicking at once. I got a question for you, Matt. By the way,
all right.
Unless we got a caller to get to, what do you Which of these young end of the bench guys are you most excited about? I mean, we saw a lot of contributions, you know, from the end, from these guys on the deep bench. Which of these guys were you most impressed with tonight?
I mean, it's got to be Larkin, and I wouldn't even call him that young. He's been in the league a few years in and out. He's been out of college a little while, I should say. But I was impressed by him. Just because this is kind of the first time that he's really had a chance to step up big. He had a couple of other moments early in the season that he looked pretty good, and his defense has been there. He's provided a spark a couple of different times and shown that he can score the basketball. But I think you mentioned it earlier, going up against Kemba Walker, you don't really expect him to perform that well, right? You don't expect him to be the guy that's going to step up and make those types of shots and play great defense on a guy like Walker. So the fact that he stepped in and was able to do that is pretty encouraging. Now, if Irving is out for an extended period of time and he gets more playing time, I don't know if that's really sustainable, because then you're going to probably start to see a guy like Jabari Bird come in and get some more playing time, or maybe even Kadeem Allen if they bring him down or up from Maine. Down from Maine up to the league from Maine. You see what I did there? It's kind of a weird thing to say. But, yeah, for tonight anyway, it's Shane Larkin. Overall, I mean, I guess I'm going with Tice just because I have so many questions about everybody else on the bench. All these young guys, Ojale, Nader, Yabusele, all three of those guys I've got questions about, and I'm not sold on any of them yet. But I think that Daniel Tice is going to be a solid NBA role player for some time, for a few more years now. He's 25 or 26, right? So I think that he's going to be a guy, based on what we've seen so far this season, that will stick around in the league. And a great find by Danny Ainge, in my opinion, for $800,000. I think this guy was a steal so far.
Yeah, and he was out there, you know? Like, guy, he was out there abroad playing ball, and you know, the Celtics, credit to the Celtics international guys, you know, went out there and got what he looks to be like a real player, man. Like, I was expecting, you know, just kind of like a guy who was just kind of a stretch big, where he was like, he could shoot threes, was like the scouting report, and you know, and I expected him to, you know, just kind of do that, and then otherwise
he sounded like he was
going to
be like a little bit better than Jarebko, you know, that type of guy, in my opinion.
Like a tall Jarebko.
Sounded like.
Yeah, and he is, you know, he is much more of a, like, he plays like a real big man and is an excellent big man. I mean, you know, I think it's a little bit overshadowed just because of how, quite frankly, how well Aaron Baines has performed. Like,
yeah,
Aaron
speaking
Baines
of big men, traditional big men. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I almost forgot that Daniel Tice, you know, had that in the toolbox, that three-point shot, until earlier tonight when he just wound up from the corner and just hit that big, big three. Like, we don't see them really use that much, and you kind of forget that that's there because all of his other big man skills, like the finishing and just the hard rolls are so good, you know? Like,
isn't it just such a contrast compared to last year when Kelly Olynyk is running around at the three-point line and just shooting whenever he wants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's like a fusion of Amir Johnson and Kelly Olynyk, and I promise I mean that as a compliment. That he's just like he can do both, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't need either one of those players. I mean, Kelly obviously a more polished, you know, attacker and finisher, but you know, you don't really, this Celtics team doesn't really need that when they have Al Horford and Kyrie Irving. They need someone who, you know, can, in the words of Bill Belichick, do their job and just, you know, do those, set those screens, roll hard, finish, you know, with two hands, these big flushes, and just, you know, do big man stuff. But you just kind of forget that he's also got that stretch potential, just because the Celtics, you know, with how they have such a good problem with how deep they are on the wings, that, you know, they don't really need someone to go stand out there on the wings. They don't need that space the way that so many other teams do need it. And, you know, it's been a very, very pleasant surprise. I totally agree with you that Daniel Tice.
They have a good mix of slashers and shooters and big men. It's very, they've gone a little bit more traditional in their building of a team, it seems, even though the rest of the league, and they said that they were going in that different direction to sort of the non-positional type of basketball where everybody's 6'8", 6'9", or 6'6" through 6'9", and they can all handle the ball, et cetera. That's the goal, right? Well, this year they've gone a little bit more traditional, and so far it's working out. So I'm excited about it. I like the way things are going, and we'll see if they can continue on this run. They've won 11 in a row after losing the first two games of the season, and they just continue on. So Toronto comes in on Sunday, and that one should be interesting. We'll see what the health situation is for the Boston Celtics. Here we are in the Celtics post-game show. 347-215-7771 is the number. Sam, we are all over New England tonight. We had the call from Maine. We had a call from Massachusetts. And now we're looking at an 862, which that's Connecticut, baby. So let's bring this person up. Hey, welcome to the Celtics post-game show. Who's this?
What's up, fellas? This is in Connecticut, actually. It's New Jersey. It's Isaiah from Jersey. What's going on, fellas?
How you
Man,
doing?
I guess I don't know my area codes as much as I thought I did.
Yeah, a little something, but it's okay. What's going on? What's going on, fellas? I just wanted to call up after tonight's victory, man. This was the although it was a regular game on the schedule, it turned out to be anything but. What kind of excitement was this game tonight? I mean, I was totally into this game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the fourth quarter was awesome, but I think it was the game as a whole. Just getting down, getting behind, getting on the refs. You know, having the refs against us, it felt like we were playing two teams instead of one tonight. But we persevered.
How do you feel about the choppiness of the offense? Are you just focusing on the fact that the defense looks good, or just that they're hanging in it? I mean, they were down double digits most of the game. To me, I look at this thing and I thought it was sloppy. I thought it was ugly. And then the fourth quarter came around and I started getting into it.
Well, it was. It was totally disjointed. I mean, all of our stars were on the court. I mean, Hayward hasn't been there since the season began. Horford has the concussion protocol, and now Kyrie's probably in the concussion protocol too. So I totally expected us to lose this game, especially when we went down by 18. I didn't see how we could muster the offense in order to get this game back. But if it's one thing that we can count on and that this season has shown us about this Celtics team, well, actually, it's three things. The first thing, of course, is the depth of the team. I mean, we keep losing guys, and we keep bringing them up, calling them up. I think you guys mentioned that they might even call up Jabari Bird, who I actually like a lot. I love that kid's game.
Mm-hmm.
So Jabari Bird might be a call-up in order to, you know, fill in for Kyrie. And the second thing that I think that we can hang our hat on is the heart of this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, at no point this season have I thought that we were out of the game. I mean, I'm like Tommy. I'm watching this go down by 18, and I'm like, okay, if we could cut it to 10 by halftime, and then we get into the third quarter, I'm like, if we could cut it to 10 by the fourth quarter, and we did better than that. I mean, this team is totally resilient. And of course, the last thing that I think that we can count on, despite the fact that the offense is choppy, I think we can count on the defense. I think that 12 games is a small sample size, but yet it isn't, because we know that's Brad's calling card. We know that his teams are going to always play defense. Since he's been with the Celtics, they play D.
Yeah.
He's shown
Kyrie
that it
said it himself.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're right.
They're a defensive team. So even though the offense is choppy, like you said, I don't think we're an offensive team. I think we're an opportunistic offensive team that relies on our defense. And
Hey, Sam, tell me how you feel about this. To me, that's the best kind of offensive team, is one that can get a turnover and run with it.
Yeah.
I'd rather have them getting layups on the break than trying to be some sort of isolation flow offense or something like they were doing when Paul Pierce was here. And even though they did it a couple times tonight and let Tatum take the isolation to the hoop, and it shows that they're capable of doing it, I'd much rather them lock down on defense and get a layup at the other end.
Yeah, I was talking with someone about this actually yesterday, when I was saying that this team reminds me a lot more of the team from 2 years ago, that team that went 48, but it got the 148 games, but lost the fifth seed, and they were like third in defensive efficiency, but they just had a hard time scoring. It was before Isaiah Thomas kind of went supernova, and they sort of, you know, lost that. That team didn't have Al Horford, but they just won games by, you know, playing defense, creating turnovers, and getting out in transition. And,
great,
you know, and exactly. And we're seeing, you know, this team is good at creating, this is a team that's good at creating turnovers. I think they took a little bit of a hit tonight, you know, not having Kyrie Irving, who's one of the league leaders in steals out there tonight. And, you know, Jason Tatum, another really underrated steal creator, in my opinion. He doesn't always get the credit for it, but he's just long and, you know, gets into guys, makes things uncomfortable, tips things away from guys. And, you know, Jaylen Brown, you know, the Celtics defense is sort of turned into what the Bucks wanted to do. I mean, the Bucks defense is atrocious now, but they've just got long, quick guys. And if you make a mistake, you know, in the hellish backcourt that the Celtics have of Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart, you might be sloppy dribbling with the ball, and all of a sudden it's gone. It's like the Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
You saw that against the Lakers the other night. Lonzo Ball lost the ball multiple times because he was going up against those guys.
Yeah, these guys are rough and rugged defenders, all of them. Now, although I'm in awe of how we came back, and I love what the team did, I'm gonna throw a little cold water on what we did tonight, just a little bit. How do you guys feel about Marcus Morris?
I mean, I know
somebody
big shot,
it, but he, I don't care. Like, I know he had a big shot. I know he had a big shot, but even that shot was highly. Every shot this guy takes highly contested. He is like the toughest shot taker, and he's not necessarily making them all. And I don't necessarily know.
He was 5 of 10 tonight.
I
think he had a great. Tonight's the wrong night to pick on Marcus Morris. Besides the bonehead play to shoot with 22 seconds left on
that
the shot clock and 40 seconds left in the game. That's the thing you can pick on him tonight for. Otherwise, I thought he was pretty good, and I think he's kind of ground himself back into shape. And part of the problem with that is that Brad Stevens allows these guys to just shoot whenever they're open. So if he feels like he's open, he's going to chuck it. He's not the problem, in my opinion.
I'm not saying that he's the problem. What I'm saying is something that needs to be watched. Because he's an outlier in that all of his shots come highly contested. Everyone else in Brad's system takes shots that are open. They take shots in the floor of the offense, not him. He takes shots where
he
wants
he's always
to dribble.
Open.
He thinks he's always open, and I don't know about that. I mean, I'm sitting here at home. I'm at home, and I'm a fan. And when we got that rebound, I said, kick that ball out and dribble the clock, run the clock. We would have took it under a minute, and we would have been great. But instead, he just chucks a three. And I'm looking at the TV like, did he just do that? And then I said that, and Tommy followed right up and said, come on, you can't do that.
Stealing from Tommy, but earlier in the game he mentioned that Marcus Morris basically hasn't seen a shot that he doesn't like, and Tommy was like, I like that in a player, because Mike Gorman said something to Tommy and it was basically like, isn't that basically stealing from your heart or something? I can't remember the phrase that he used, but that was basically Tommy's MO, man. He had the ball, he was looking to shoot, and that's what Morris is.
Yeah.
And to an extent, you're right, Isaiah, that could be a problem.
I think it's something that needs to be monitored going forward, only because I'm not saying he's a good player, but we all watch basketball enough to know that good players have to know have to have a good basketball IQ. And I'm watching him and how he plays, and I'm kind of up in the air on his basketball IQ. Everyone on the team seems to have brought in the Brad system, and their basketball IQ seems to be growing. We all see how they play together. And then the ball gets to him and it stops. And then he puts it on the ground and he starts to dribble. Then he's pulling up for 18 feet contested hard fadeaway jump shots. And if it goes in, that's great. But we all know basketball is a fickle sport, and the ball's not going to bounce your way every night.
Yeah.
So that's one thing to watch. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, the other cold water thing is, I came into I think we talked last year. I love Jaylen. I still do. I think Jaylen, to me, his upside comp is Paul George. If he can, I think he has the athleticism. I think he has the shot, if he continues to work on his consistency, to be a Paul George type player. But the only two things that he's missing is, one, being able to have an in-between game, pull up off the dribble and hit that shot. The three-pointer I can live with, he'll make some, he'll miss some. But when he puts the ball on the floor, he's either going all the way to the hole and running into someone, going all the way to the hole and losing the basketball, or pulling up and bricking the shot. And that leads me to my second point with Jaylen. His handle is atrocious. Like, that's the only thing that's stopping him from taking the next step is his handle. Because he loses the ball all the time.
Isaiah, I think you're right on, man. And we appreciate the call. Sam, follow up on this one because we only got a couple minutes left. Isaiah, we'll talk to you next time. All right, dude.
All right, fellas, have a good one. Go see.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Isaiah, Jersey, not Connecticut. Sorry, Sam. Follow up on this Jaylen Brown point because I've got something to say on this too.
Yeah, I think Isaiah made two great points there. I'm Jack from Titanic. I'm in the cold water here with him. Like there's no room on the door, but I'm here in the cold water. Like, I think that, you know, just to quickly return to that Morris point real quick, because I think that's an excellent point. And something I wanted to point out is if this is not the game, like Marcus Morris had, like, he had a fine game, but not a great game. And this was a game that was made for Marcus Morris, where the Celtics had no offense. and yet he, you know, I'm not really sure if he wasn't, if this game was not to go to Marcus Morris and for him to take shots that weren't open. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure. I'm with Isaiah on that, I guess, is what I'm saying, because I think Marcus Morris, you know, doesn't really fit what the Brad Stevens style of play is. But to get back to that Jalen Brown thing, I mean,
yeah, but he's only had a couple games. He'll get there. Give him a chance.
He's older. He's older than a lot of the guys on this. You know, I think he kind of is what he is at this point. But you know, I do think I also think that Jalen Brown point is a really good one, because I think that you know Jalen is out there. He's trying to, you know, murder guys at the rim and put everybody on a poster. And, you know, he is trying to get to the rim. Like, when I see Jalen attack, you know, the Jalen Brown, I don't think that this is, you know, necessarily, I'm not saying Jalen Brown's bad, but, like, the assists aren't there for Jalen Brown. You know, if Jalen Brown is attacking, you know what he's thinking. You know what I'm saying? And I think that limits him a little bit as a player. Offensively, when, you know, the other team knows what you're going to do and knows, you know, what's going to happen. So, you know, I think, I agree, it's not really something to panic about, but it's also, you know, something worth watching. That's what he's going to need to add.
And I've been sort of a detractor of Jalen Brown this year, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to take anything away from him. He's a young kid, but I've been saying that I like Tatum better just from what I've seen, because he's a more polished offensive player. Jalen Brown, to me, has no control of the basketball, even at the rim. And he's usually a pretty good finisher, but even at the rim, if he has to alter his shot at all, I have no confidence in him being able to lay it in or even dunk it. And he showed that a couple times tonight. So I like Tatum better in that regard. I think that Tatum's upside offensively is actually better than Jalen Brown's, because he's got more of an array of offensive moves. And Jalen Brown is sometimes trying a little bit too hard. So if he can rein himself in and focus on the things that he's really good at, like defense and taking guys off the dribble and pulling up a little bit, and I mean, I just and then working on finishing at the rim, he's going to be a great player as well. But to me, Tatum is the guy. So I'm glad that Ainge made the trade to be able to get Tatum and bring him in, because he looks great to me. Anyway. That's going to do it for us here, Sam. We started a little late, but we're going to end on time. Thank you to all the callers who checked us out tonight. Tune in on Sunday after the game against the Toronto Raptors. We'll have you again here on the Celtics post-game show. Sam, man, you got anything else you want to throw out there as we leave?
Let's go Celtics. Kyrie, get well soon. You know, I won't be able to post as many memes, you know, without you out there being healthy, man. So, you know, it's really important. That's absolutely the most important reason for you to get healthy. I'm joking.
Sam Sheehan, always looking out for himself and his Twitter account there, folks. Good stuff, Sam. Thank you again to everybody who listened, and check us out on Sunday. We'll be back after the Raptors game, as we are after every single game here for the Celtics. On CLNS Media, it's the Celtics postgame show. For Sam Sheehan, I'm Matt Rury. Have a good night, everybody.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.
Y'all been in a ball fight?